How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I went back and watched Portland State's game against Montana from Saturday. Vikings played well, 28-17 loss. Led 3-0 at halftime. Second half was wide open, a lot of scoring. Portland State had the run game going, looked really good. Difference in the game just came down to turnovers, as games often do. Portland State's final game of the regular season coming up Saturday at 1 o'clock. They're home against Northern Colorado. Here to talk about it, Bruce Barnum, Portland State football coach. 3-0, and then a shootout in the second half.
Yeah, how about that, John? It was a, SEC game, then a Big Sky game. You know, it was the three goose, we gave up. Should have been probably 10 goose, but it wasn't. And, we left some points out there with the turnovers, which is disappointing, but saw some great things. Kids are still playing hard, slam this phone down before the call's over.
You had more than 200 yards rushing. You ran all over them. Did you anticipate that you could run the ball on them?
It was a game plan. You watch that, and we wanted to do it without Sacheray because we knew they're going to do things. They've done things in the past to take him away, which we thought opened up other runs for our tailbacks as far as safeties. To help. Or to be the cleanup in a normal, between the tackles run. And that proved our guys up front did a nice job. Two tailbacks did a nice job. And it worked, Between the 20s, we were a hell of a football team, a hell of an offense. But the red zone bit us, and we've been great down there. That's what just irks you.
Yeah. You got down in that red zone and you struggled a couple times. You had a turnover down there, and that was really the difference of the game. But you were frustrating them. I went back and watched that whole game. There was frustration on their sideline in the game, and that has to feel good to you when you go into half.
It did, and again, you look back on Sunday and you're like, maybe this. Just because they came out, and adjusted and made some plays in the second half, and the momentum when you're in that stadium. I mean, they attract a great crowd, and the momentum took over. And you know what? Honestly, it didn't bury my football team. I mean, they kept battling. They had grit, and they believed they could win that thing all the way up until the lights went out, Literally.
Bruce Barnum with us. Yeah, let's talk about that. We had a Super Bowl with the Niners and Ravens where the lights went out and players had to sit around. How did that affect you, and what do you think as it gets dark on the field and the lights go out?
Well, they're lucky it was a day game, number one. It was cloudy, which made it, kind of a you're just about to enter dusk, and they're talking, we're going to get him back on. They couldn't find the guy. This is what they told me, the guy in charge of the stadium. I think he's out having a beer in the parking lot. But so they're like, hey, what are we going to do? Are we going to, let's play or just use a change, Pop Warner, and I'm like, well, what happens if we don't? Do I get to do this over? Can we do this tomorrow morning? Barnum, no, it's almost over. I'm like, well, let's do it then. Let's play it. I got to get back two scores here quick, and they explained to you, okay, here's what the ref is going to do. to let you know the shot clock, you know, when it runs out. Yeah. Here's what the ref's going to do. They show me all these weird arms, and I'm like, I'm not worried about that. I need more time. You know, but it was kind of a pain in the ass because you're there. We're trying to, you know, score and onside and get it back and win it. And I kept asking the guy, how much time's left? How much time's left? Yeah. And every time I asked the guy on my sideline, he go, well, I got to ask Junior over there. I'm like, well, you got a radio in your ear. Does it work? Or does that go out with the lights too, you know? Thought that's on battery, for cripe's sake. But anyway, it was unique, you know. It was unique. Because there's a lot of lights in that stadium, John. They got a big old board, you know. I could watch the plays. Pre-snap, you can see how they're lining up. I mean, it's a very useful board. Then they have, you know, advertisements and all that shit and stuff on it. So it lights the place up. Anyway, it got dark quick. How about that?
You play at home against Northern Colorado. Yeah. They come into this game. I'm going to knock on wood here. They're a one-win team coming to your home stadium. You know, you guys need to take care of business this week. What do you see on film when you look at Northern Colorado?
Ed Lamb. I respect Ed Lamb. He's their head coach. It sounds like they're decimated a little bit with injuries. And it's a team that we are preparing to beat, like you just said. I need to go into this off season with a positive and to help many things, you know, keep my team excited and around. I can't lose anybody. I've talked to you about that and go from there. But we're doing everything in our power right now. Yes, looking ahead, off season. I just got a new AD, all this, but I need to win a football game. We're going to win a football game.
Give me an idea. You've been operating with Matt Billings as the interim athletic director. He's now been promoted to the full-time job. Does he come to you now? And you know, does he have conversations with you after getting the full-time job, or is that something you guys talk about at the end of the year?
No, I mean, he's been here, you know, helping, working, you know, John. But the day they announced it yesterday, I had a meeting with him and my SWA, so I was senior women's administrator, and another one of my coaches, and it's like, okay, let's prioritize your needs. And boy, did I have that list, you know. I said, here's what, excuse me, I bought all of them, you know. He said, well, let's prioritize them. So he's on it. I mean, he didn't waste any time. He said, do you have time? I said, yeah. You know, this is important. Here's what I need to get to the playoffs, ready to go. So I'm excited.
The Portland State and the ecosystem, we're watching major college football, and we've talked a lot about the payday games this year, and you've got to play those games. They help your athletic department. They're not easy for you, but it's part of the job, I guess, as you see it. But where does the Big Sky and where does this level of football fit moving forward? Is it in jeopardy? Do you feel like it's more stable than ever? Where's the Big Sky? Where's your division of football going to fit moving forward?
Well, FCS, not just Big Sky. There's one more lawsuit out there, John, that people are watching. It's one, I forget what they called it, Smith, or I can't remember the name of it. But it is, are you going to pay student-athletes minimum wage along with their scholarship? That one could change the landscape more than anything, I think. Right now it's dealing with, okay, money, NIL, da-da-da-da-da, but that one could really change, and I think that's going to come down sometime this summer, probably.
Yeah, it's Johnson. But that, Johnson versus
Johnson,
the NCAA.
I'm sorry.
Same thing.
Johnson-Smith.
Smith, Johnson.
That's a very popular name in our ecosystem, but you know, right now I'm just looking. You know, I've still got the money games through 27. I actually looked at it today because budget's always out there. Next year we have BYU Hawaii 26. I've got San Diego State and Oregon. You know, that Oregon, boop, that one, you know, new conference, what are they going to do? with me. 27, Oregon State, San Jose State. You know, what's Oregon State going to do? Where are they going to be? Are they going to want to reschedule that? So I'm looking at that. And 2029, Oregon, you want out of that one? It's going to cost you. So, you know, so I look at that piece. That affects, you know, and that's why one reason I'm watching all the, you know, where are we going, what's going to happen with the Pac-12 or 2 or where are we going with that. But there's so much, John, the NIL is out there, and I'm going to have to use something to keep my guys around, whether it's, you know, full, paying for.
Yeah.
Full cost of living just to keep my guys. I mean, there's a lot going on. I'm talking more Portland State, but I think what affects FCS, this level of football, the most is that Johnson case.
Yeah, because if you have to pay athletes, not just football players, but you have to pay all athletes minimum wage, that is a huge cost to FCS schools that don't have those huge media rights deals. And suddenly, you know, you're going to have some schools making some hard decisions. Bruce Barnum is with us, Portland State football coach. This is off topic, but earlier today we had Kenny Mayne on the show, former ESPN anchor, and he's got this documentary out about wiffle ball. Now, did you play wiffle ball as a kid? Did your kids play wiffle ball as they grew up?
Constantly. That's all we did. In the, you know, we were lucky to live in a cul-de-sac, you know, and it was, you know, the Johnson's roof is a home run, the Smith's roof is an out because they have a fence and a dog. I mean, it was a, you had your park. And that's all we did, you know. Everybody thought they knew how to throw a knuckleball, even though it happened just by throwing the damn ball. And my kids, I had Brody and Cooper, I always had a bucket. We had a bucket of wiffle balls in the back. And every field we saw, if there was an extra, you know, 15 minutes, I'll go to the store and get this. All right, let's go, guys. And we'd pass by a field, and who wants a bucket? You know, we'd jump out, and I'd toss them each a bucket of balls. We'd get back in the car and go home. But, yeah, wiffle balls in my world were a big deal, big part of it. You know, we only had three TV channels, John. You weren't inside playing, you know, TV. Yeah. And then I was older, and when – you know, everybody uses now play these games now. We had Ganip Ganop, you know, when I was in like high school, ping pong backwards. That was the only damn video game that came out, and we played that for a little while. That kept you busy for about 20 minutes. It didn't really capture me, so we go back out and play kick the can and or wiffle ball until dark, and then it was kick the can. You know,
I am looking at kids today, and even our own kids. And I don't see a lot of free time in their lives. Like, my kids are all playing different sports and different activities. They seem far busier than I was. And I wonder how that plays a role in maybe kids not, you know, just going down the street and playing, you know, kickball or something in the street.
Well, I think they get it now. And I think it comes in now in family reunions. Summer vacation, you know, I don't know, not summer vacation, but family vacation. That's probably when they get that little taste of what we had. Other than that, though, if they're in, you know, there's all kinds of stuff they could do. I remember carting my two kids around, and, you know, as long as they were competing, we threw them in everything. Is it competing? Sure. Let's get them out there. The only one that, you know, my kids, watching them play soccer, that was the only thing. It was fun when they were little because they just ran around in one big pile, you know. But my guys, at least, didn't move a lot in that. Hockey, we threw them in that. Every sport they could do. Just something to do besides that Nintendo or whatever the hell it is, game box or something.
You've got a number of seniors that will play their last game for you on Saturday. What will you guys do, and what do you say to those guys as they go out to play their last game?
You asked me this last year and the year before. Senior day to me is, I'm not emotional, but I'm emotional. That I don't know why. You know, you wrote a damn article today that I get emotional different probably than other
people. Did you cry? Did you cry reading that today?
No, damn it, but almost. There's one part of it. You said something, and I'm like, it was like the, you know, Christmas morn when you or something happens, or you're watching that Christmas movie, nobody's around, you know.
Yeah.
No, I didn't, but I was on the verge. I stopped reading it, looked away from the article, looked back at film, you know, composed myself. And I said, all right, I can stop reading the personal shitty rights, but it's emotional, you know.
Yeah.
It is. Those kids, well, not all of them, but some have been here for quite a while, you know. And this year, just what they've done with the you know, we have two wins right now. We're going for three, and then the season's over. But I see how my team plays.
Yeah.
Is that my coaches? Sure. But that's my captains and my leadership in my locker room, making sure they prepare and how they act, you know. So I'm proud of them, no matter what their role's been. And it's cool. Don't get me wrong. I think they're prepared. I think everyone is prepared to go out and contribute to society in all different ways, but it's an emotional day.
Yeah, and look, I look back, and I think sometimes when teams have tough seasons in the win-loss column, you'll see a team that will kind of drift away, or they're not playing hard, and I think Oregon State's doing some of that right now, and I think they're having a hard time getting those guys focused. Something happened with you guys because You like right around the beginning of October, when you could have gone south, you didn't. And you played UC Davis to the final play of the game. Then you beat Idaho State. Then you beat Sacramento State with a great second half. And then you played Idaho within one score. And then this last game against Montana, I kind of feel if you don't have the turnovers, you beat them, right? Like, you guys are competing even though you're not getting a result every week. And I think the kids should be applauded for that.
Same here. I totally agree. And you know what? I know it will help them later on in life. Just how they're, you know, keep fighting. You're not going to win all the time. How are you going to react when things aren't how you want them, you know? And honestly, that's another reason I was looking at this schedule today. Because right now I've got two money games through 27. And that was one of the asks. You know, you want Portland State in the playoffs, let's maybe drop one of those. In 28, I have none. 29, Oregon. You know, when they want to leave, let's just have them pay us out and don't play any then. You know, that's the stuff I'm looking at.
Well, go give them hell on Saturday. Northern Colorado, big game, big home game for people who want to see a quality football game, as college football is intended to be. Go to Hillsborough Stadium on Saturday at 1 o'clock. You'll see Portland State and Northern Colorado. Support a lot of local kids who are out there playing. Bruce Barnum, thank you, man.
All right, thanks, John. I'll talk to you.
All right, there he goes. Almost made him cry. You heard him. You want to read it, it's at johnconzano.com. It really is. It's a story about a listener of this radio show, Joyce DeBellis, who died at the age of 89. Middle of the college football season this season, and her son, and the passion and thing they shared, their thing was this radio show, my column, and college football. There's a message in there, and I'm glad Bruce Barnum got it, and I'm just curious at what point he had to look up and look away. I'm going to read it during the break and try to figure that out. Stick around. We got one more segment.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.